Credits drying up in the wake of the European debt crisis.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective on business and economics. Today, Eurozone finance ministers will be looking at ways to beef up the so-called bailout fund, which is supposed to prevent countries such as Greece and Spain from going bust. Well, meanwhile, the debt crisis is having a profound effect on European banks and their ability to lend. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live from London with that story. Hey, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
Of course, we all remember the credit crunch from two, 3 years ago. Is something like that happening now?
Yes. I mean, what happened then? Banks stopped lending to each other because they didn't know who was sitting on the biggest losses from subprime mortgages. And that led eventually to a global recession. What's going on in Europe now is similar, except it's not mortgages, but Eurozone government debt that's the main problem. As fears have grown that European governments might default, investors have shunned the banks that lent the governments a lot of money. US investors in particular have pulled billions of dollars out of the Eurozone. And as a result, the banks have been hoarding their cash and cutting back on their lending. Peter Tahl Larsen of the website Breaking Views thinks it could be worse this time than 3 years ago.
I think what we're seeing now is a more severe credit crunch, really, because it looks like it's going to go on for longer, and there are no obvious solutions in terms of government support, because governments are not really in a position to support banks in the same way that they were in 2008.
So now that sounds bad, Stephen. Just how much damage do you think we're going to see?
Well, it could be very bad. The OECD, the Organization of Leading Countries, reckons not only that the Eurozone could slip into recession next year, but the US could be affected too. The OECD has cut its forecast for US growth next year down from 3.1 to 2%.
All right. Stephen Beard joining us from London. Thank you, Stephen.
Okay, Steve.
Marketplace is Stephen Beard. Let's do the numbers. Global shares are mostly higher right now. Cyber Monday sales were up. IBM Benchmark says online sales at department stores rose 39% over last year, and smartphone shopping was up by 8.5%. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow shot up 291 points to end the day at 11,523. Uranium's going for about $52 a pound these days. That's up fivefold in the last 10 years alone. And some of the richest uranium deposits just so happen to be on land surrounding the Grand Canyon. Well, a ban on new mining claims near the canyon is set to expire next month. From Flagstaff, Arizona, Laurel Morales has more.
Interior Secretary Ken Salazar wants to extend the ban for another 20 years. That's bad news for mining companies like Vein Minerals. Chris Hefton is Vein's chief operating officer.
Uranium deposits that have been found in northern Arizona are among the highest grade deposits anywhere in the U.S.
Minerals experts estimate there's enough uranium on land surrounding Grand Canyon National Park to replace more than 13 billion barrels of imported crude oil with nuclear power. Republican lawmakers have sponsored legislation that would allow mining to continue. But park officials worry about impacts on tourism. Martha Hahn is with the National Park. She says about 4.5 million people visit the Grand Canyon each year.
Just the whole perception of potential contamination could deter them from coming to the park.
At the park, visitors can already see a plume and drill rig from one uranium mine that was grandfathered in before the temporary ban. In Flagstaff, I'm Laurel Morales for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, protecting online privacy by removing your personal data from the Internet and stopping unwanted email. Reputation.com. By Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by Constant Contact, offering email marketing tools and resources to help market small businesses during the holiday season. Learn more at ConstantContact.com.
Protesters with the Occupy Los Angeles movement are asking a federal judge for an injunction to stop the city from evicting them from their camp. Meanwhile, in London, banking giant UBS is working to clear Occupy protesters who have taken over a big, empty office building. Christopher Worth explains.
Protester Pete Phoenix guides me through the dark four-story building he and dozens of others have occupied for the past week.
In the same way that banks repossess people's houses, We've repossessed this on behalf of, you know, a lot of people.
The protesters have dubbed the building the Bank of Ideas, a place where the Occupy movement can discuss solutions to the global economic crisis. They're holding workshops on things like bank taxes and have invited community youth groups to move in. If UBS wants the building back, it's likely to have a long legal battle ahead of it. The bank has asked a court for permission to evict the protesters, but that could take weeks. Mark Davis is a property lawyer with the London law firm Healy's. He says that's because in the UK, squatters who occupy empty buildings enjoy certain rights.
What it means effectively is that UBS can't use force to chuck the squatters out. We'd have to go for the courts.
In fact, doing so could come with a fine of nearly $8,000. UBS declined an interview request, but in a written statement said it's aware of the situation. The British government is considering a bill that would make squatting a criminal offense, punishable by up to a year in jail. But Leon Glenister of the website LawThink says the protesters follow a long tradition rooted in English law.
It comes from the old way of doing property, which is that the way old villages would determine who owned certain property would just be who was living there.
Back at the Bank of Ideas, Pete Phoenix says the protesters have asked the Swiss bank, UBS, to let them stay.
Why don't we all talk to each other? You know, maybe the Swiss want to help out with some community projects.
Nearby, protesters have been camped outside St. Paul's Cathedral since October. The City of London has been in court for the past several weeks trying to evict them. In London, I'm Christopher Wirth for Marketplace.
Finally this morning, just a week to go for a contest sponsored by the U.S. military's research arm. The agency's offering a big cash award to the people who figure out the fastest and most cost-effective ways to piece together shredded documents. Some are using computer programs or painstakingly piecing each contest challenge together by hand. Winner gets $50,000. Let's hope the prize won't be a bag of shredded dollar bills. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
These are still difficult times. Nobody knows that better than charities that depend on donations to survive. So, what to do?
So now I'm going publicly and outing these people and at least embarrassing them.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Make them feel bad, then take their money. It's charity, Freakonomics style, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.